our next topic is 1,000 years of peace. So we in Revelation 20, and if somebody can turn to Revelation 20 verses 1 to 3. Shall I ask Raymond to turn to Revelation 20, 1 to 3? If Hilma can turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. If Noelle can read Revelation 20 verse 4, I'll ask you when it's time, yeah?
Revelation 20 verse 4.
And Revelation 20 verse 6 as well. Hilma, you got a verse?
I got 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, yeah.
You get, if you can read 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, if you don't mind.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians, yeah.
Not you, Hilma.
Yeah. 2
Thessalonians 4:16.
Yeah, I got that. And then the next one's what?
No. You get it.
Okay, right.
Can you read?
2 Thessalonians. Now?
No, not now. 2 Thessalonians
2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8.
Not now, yeah?
Yeah. No, I'm just writing it down. Okay,
now we'll if you can read. Are you able to read, Marianne? Are you awake? She's not there.
She's muted.
Yeah.
sorry. I'm having my dinner.
It's okay. Are you able to read when it's what? Later.
Okay. What is it?
Jeremiah 4:23-27.
Okay.
And then I'll read Revelation
21:21-23.
There's more verses. We'll start again when the time comes. Yeah. So, Revelation 20 describes a 1,000-year period when Satan and his evil angels, what happens to them?
They're in the
bottomless pit.
Yeah, they are bound and they're unable to deceive anyone. So, Revelation 20 verses 1 to 3 says...
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and gave a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while.
Okay, we know that, isn't it? It's good to actually go over it again, though. It says the great chain is a chain of circumstances that keeps Satan deceiving anyone for 1,000 years. Imagine what's going to go on with him. He'll be like a lion in a cage, huh? Why do you think this is the case?
Well, the those who are not alive in Christ won't be there, so the earth will be desolate, therefore he'll have nothing to do.
Yeah. So the first, for the 1,000-year period begins with the second coming of Christ, yeah?
Yeah.
And the time in which all his people will be caught up with to meet him in the air, and they will then return to heaven with Jesus for 1,000 years. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says.
Okay, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And 17 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever.
Amen. In a way, it's nice to actually discuss this after the death of the Queen and how after so many different beliefs were expressed on TV, in the news, in different channel news, about how everybody thought about the dead.
Yes.
We thank God we thank God for showing us the truth in His Bible, in His Word, and we just pray that more people will be open to receive the truth. So, Revelation 20 verse 4 says,
"And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who have not worshipped the beast or his image, and have not received his mark on their forehead or on their hand. And they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
Amen.
But the rest of the dead did not live again, and the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen.
Wow. There is a couple of notes. So if you have time to, it's a verse 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Great controversy. So the judgment of the wicked. Effectively, that's what we'll be doing. If we're going to sit on thrones and judge. So during the 1,000 years, between the first and the second resurrection,
we're still going to get to that part. We're not there yet.
I'm just reading the reference to verse 4 and 6.
I'll ask you to read it later when we get to somewhere close.
Just a question. Is the pouring of the plague also the closing of the probation?
No.
Well, so it means to say, during those pouring of the plagues, they'll still like chances of repentance.
No, but didn't we read a couple of chapters earlier that the probation ends when Christ
comes? That's the seventh. The seventh plague.
No, when Christ finishes his judgment in the
I don't think in the
most holy place of the sanctuary.
Mm.
When he steps out of the sanctuary, judgment is done, and then everybody knows on which side of the fence they are. At that time, they said that there's no more mercy.
But do the plagues come before Christ steps out of the judgment?
Yeah, that's the question.
Well, I know the last part of the plagues don't. I don't know about the first part of the plagues, because they said the first four plagues fall one after the other in various parts of the world. These plagues are terrible sores. Sea becomes blood. Fresh waters become as blood. Sun scorches the earth. So we know the sun is scorching the earth right now, but I don't know about the timing of those.
You guys going to say something?
Yes.
In answer, or in an attempt to answer Marianne's question, if you look at the plagues, right, fourth and the fifth, verse 9 of chapter 16 said, "And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these things, and they did not repent and give him glory." So I think, to my understanding, there was still time after the plagues, or the pouring of those bowls, etc., but they did not.
That
really shows the love of God in his wrath. His wrath is just as pure as his love. He was giving everybody an opportunity. If my memory recall, from listening to Pastor Barron some years ago, he alluded to that. And the fact is this, God says, and they did not repent. And if you look at it, it's in a few of those plagues that it says, and they did not repent from their deeds.
Yeah, and also when we went over the time of trouble or tribulation, remember there was a little time of trouble?
Yes.
The little time of trouble was around the time when we had to choose Sunday or Saturday.
Absolutely.
Then when when that time closed, we have already decided when we're choosing Sunday or Saturday Sabbath, we're already choosing the mark of the beast or the seal of God.
That's why I think when judgment comes, when yep. all this, I think this is a time when there's no more mercy.
Yes.
That's why there is a plague.
That's why so there
is a plague. Look at this. Yeah. The earth will get wicked and more wicked.
Yes.
So the more wicked people get, like Lot and all this.
Yeah.
Example, the less chances, as if like I've myself say, I'm getting wicked and wicked and more wicked. I've already given up my chances of repentance.
Yes.
You know, sort of thing.
I think that we will know without a doubt when the plague
is. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't think that there's, but, you know, we are going to be running to the hills and that kind of thing for a reason.
But it's good to discuss it, you know, yeah.
However, we are, there will be God looking out for us.
Mm.
The cloud of fire and the
brimstone.
The other one?
Brimstone.
Yeah. Mm. So I think this is all gonna happen after the seal.
It's almost like the last thing.
Done. Mark of, by the time the mark of the beast is done, you have to either bow down and via the Sunday Sabbath.
Or you're standing up.
Would you be observing the Lord's Sabbath?
Mm. Yeah.
Time, Christ would have come out of his sanctuary,
mm.
according to the study so far.
Mm.
I think that these plagues are going to happen before Christ comes. So this is after we have chosen, made our choices. But I stand to be corrected if anybody comes up with it. Because remember, during the time of trouble or tribulation, we were told very clearly, the world has, when he leaves the sanctuary, darkness covers the inhabitants of the earth. In that fearful time, the righteous must live in the sight of a holy God without an intercessor. Remember that?
Mm.
Strain which has been upon the wicked is removed, and Satan has entire control of the finally impenitent. God's long suffering has ended. The world has rejected his mercy, despised his love, and trampled his law. This is the time of the trouble or tribulation. As the angel ceases to hold in check the fierce winds of human passion, all elements of strife will be let loose. And we said the times are going to go.
Okay.
I'm going to let you all read that in the Great Controversy, page 613. And 614. So there is a process. We've already gone through that, the time of trouble. We already gone through the seven last plagues. And now we're moving on now to the 1,000 years. And now if we don't talk anymore about the 1,000 years, we've only got like about 8 minutes or so. So Marianne, if your question is not answered, then perhaps we will do some more study on it some other time, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think that's what you get said. I think that was also, I'm thinking that there is still chance during all those plagues going to happen for each and every one of things.
But I beg to differ. For me, it feels like the seven last plagues. Why are they calling them the last plagues?
Okay, the final.
In a mining place, you know how to strain the gold. They have this strainer. I think that the seven plagues will be. It's like looking out the gold in a mining place, straining all those stones to look for the gold. It would be like that. Sorry, doorbell.
Okay, moving on now. The 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8.
And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yeah, so by that time, the lawless one or the unrighteous one, as the book puts it, is going to be revealed.
I just wonder, when I look at this as before, I just wonder why he wasn't revealed before. You know, let all these people suffer all this plague. And then, or maybe the other way it's written. Or whether maybe Christ was giving everybody a chance, a free will chance.
Yeah.
No.
May I ask, what version did you read from?
I read from the Disciples' Bible.
I'm just going to, does anyone have any other version of that, 2 Thessalonians 2:8?
I have study Bible in the New King James Version. Yes. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Okay, this author, I don't know if he got it wrong or whether I need to read a few more versions, but he said the unrighteous, on the other hand, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy brightness of his coming. So we understand that to mean, right, that when the unrighteous, when at Christ's coming, the unrighteous will die. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the glory of, with the brightness of the glory of God. So Satan is described as being chained in a bottomless pit during this time because he has no one to deceive save the righteous which are in heaven, and the unrighteous, since the unrighteous who are in heaven and the unrighteous wicked are dead. So the glory of the Lord then kills.
Can I come in, Radha, for a minute?
Yeah.
You see, the lawless one is none other but Satan himself. To put in context, we look at verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Mm-hmm. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, sign, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception to those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It is so that is none other but the work of Satan and his agencies. And for this reason, listen to this now, verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they may believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. To a large extent, we are witnessing that in a major way, both in the realm of religion as well as in the secular world. Satan is at work. There are agencies that he employs for all that kind of deceptions. Elsewhere in Thessalonians, I don't know exactly where, I can't remember, God says, test the spirits, know what is good, and hold on to the truth. So it behoves each and every one of us to be well aware of the deception of the lawless one.
Yeah. I just want to clarify. Sorry, were you going to say anything else, Hugues?
No. I just wanted to put that. For me personally, if I just read verse 8, then yeah, I will struggle to know what the meaning yeah is. But when I read it in the context of a few verses above, and perhaps the whole chapter, then it makes sense what God is saying yeah to us here, for me at least.
Okay, I'm going to read this again from the King James Version. Which says, verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work until he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy Yeah, so it still talks about that wicked. So it's talking about one wicked, isn't it? But yes, I understand we need to read the whole chapter in order to get the context. And you know, going back to the course that you get, Noemi and Ramon, I'm sorry, one second. So Ramon and Noemi and us did the lay preaching course. We were asked to not just read a verse, but always read
the one from here
to get the context. Anyway, but we all agree, yeah, that when Christ comes, the wicked will die.
Yeah.
The brightness. Yeah. Okay. So during 1,000 years, the earth is in a dark, desolate condition, which will be the dwelling place of Satan and his evil angels. Jeremiah, who's reading? Marianne, are you free?
Yeah. Which one? Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah. Okay. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and that they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. I remember when I was young, because this was all, we've been studying all of this right from the moment we've been converted, yeah? So I remember this was already been told that we have read or to have we heard from someone that during those 1,000 years, Satan will and his angels I think will be the one who's going to be running around the earth, but they could find no one because all the wicked had. As you have already said, that all the wicked have already died during on Christ when Christ returned. So it will gonna be Satan and his all those angels have fallen on that day were after the war in heaven. I think so.
When heaven still has to come, we're going through all of the. We're going through all of the, the steps that will lead up until the time when Gog, all that Gog and Magog is still coming. This one is only to do with the time when we go up. That war that you're talking about is, I think, if that's the same thing you're referring to, is only going to happen after the 1,000 years.
Yeah, during those 1,000 years, Satan will be on the earth and his angels. So they were roaming around, but they couldn't find no one because of all the wicked are already dead.
Yeah. And that's his. That's going to be something very hard for him to deal with.
Yeah.
Although he knows what's going to be, what it's going to be like. Okay, moving on. I'm gonna ask you all to start again. Ramon, if you can turn to Revelation 21:2. Noelle, if you can turn to Revelation 20 verse 5 when I ask you to. Then also read verses 7 to 9 after that. Not at the time, but verse 5 and then 7 to 9. And then if you can read verse 11.
Okay.
Revelation 20 verse 11.
Yeah.
And then where's Hilma? Are you there, Hilma?
Yeah.
If you can read Matthew 25:41.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, so we can see from Jeremiah that it's actually very sad, isn't it, to read that.
Mm-hmm.
When I, if I had read that before, I would never have thought that it was talking about the time of 1,000 years. So if we find that the things are so sad now, imagine how sad this world is going to look then.
Maybe that's what we need to, maybe it's like a, well, we're reading it, so it's a warning. Mm-hmm. I mean, something bad, but to prepare, no? Some sort of, well, some sort of disturbing and getting ready for this. For both, as the world changes.
And
we don't get caught in all the confusion of things. I think that's where a thing might happen. If we know a bit of the Bible, we can hear it about how much in tune, like, day to day. You know, that, I don't know, it's just a thought.
I'm also thinking if people who don't know God and can see all of these changes in the Bibles and can see all of these changes happening now, imagine how stressful, more stressful it must be for them.
That's the thing.
So Revelation 21 verse 2, at the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus returns to the earth with his people and the New Jerusalem. Raymond?
What verse is it, please?
Revelation 21 verse 2.
Right. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Okay. And then at that time, all the unrighteous in their graves will be resurrected. Revelation 20 verse 5.
It says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Okay, pause.
And then...
not yet. The Bible tells us that Satan won't have changed during the 1,000 years. He will still be God. When the unrighteous are resurrected, he then causes some more deception. So I'll let Noelle read from 7 to 9 now.
7 to 9. It said, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, or Magog, to gather them together into battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. A fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Yes, that's what Marianne, you were referring to, right? The war.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it looked like no matter how much judgment and trouble the earth will be, confusion and all this, some people will just not choose not to believe. They will choose to blame God and whatever, but not accept that there is a God.
I think that this whole comic strips, TV programs, the movies that are out, you know, in the last year, few years, you know, all of these have got the people so confused, so that if they never really actually took their Bibles and read, they have no hope to know that there's, because the fables are becoming truth now, isn't it?
That's the thing, yeah. Everything that is untrue is becoming true, and everything that is true is being ridiculed.
So Satan is really messing with the mind of people.
But that goes back to what we just said, that God himself will send them strong delusions.
Yeah.
That they will believe the untruth. So this is where, in a sense, for our own, to what extent we need to be very, very in tune with the Word of God. Because if you don't read the Bible, you won't know. And you're very right in terms of the Simpsons and all those programs.
Yeah.
And God, I tell you, knows how to decode that. Out of all this, you see the work of, so when he showed me, he said, watch this. You see how the word of Satan are encrypted in all the programs. So now, I don't watch that, because when this is on and the children are watching, what are you bringing in your home?
Well, the Bible itself tells you.
The minds of those watching it.
Yeah. I was going to say, the Bible itself tells you to train up the child in the ways, and in the end he will not depart from it. But if you train up the child in the way he shouldn't go, it's still embedded in their memories, right?
Yeah,
yes. Unless they open their heart's door to Christ, who then can help them see the changes. Sorry, Raymond, you were going to say?
We have to realize, since the Garden of Eden, since the serpent tempted Eve, the two powers started to work. Because when Satan tempted Eve, he left Eve and Adam and Eve, he was aware to be found. Until God called them. Today is the same thing. Satan is going around tempting as many as he can. But God has given us the power to hear him, to listen to him. How much of this do we do? How much of we do we listen and take heed, if we can say, of the word of God? We don't hear. We got the Bible. When we read the Bible, can we hear God talking to us?
Okay. For Romans chapter 14, 11 and 12. Did I give you all the wrong chapter? Did somebody have Romans chapter 14, 11 and 12?
No.
Sorry, who was supposed to read next? Noelle. It's not Revelation, it's Romans.
Okay.
Romans 14,
14, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Just a minute. Romans 14, 11, 12 says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God." So there we are, then, our own responsibility. Romans chapter 14, that's what you said?
Romans 14, 11 and 12.
11, 12, yeah.
I can't wait for this time, and I feel like this is where Satan has the whole world. They will believe the fables over truth. Then, one day, they will still have to bow down to God. How stupid is that, to have to give up themselves to Satan only to bow down before Christ in
Yes.
It seems so stupid, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's such a waste of this life that God gave us. Sorry, Huguette, you were saying?
Yeah. And then, again, putting things in context now. Look at verse, and in fact, verse 10 also, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then, verse 10, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. You see, and as Mary was saying, we have a responsibility. We all have to give account for ourselves, even the people who are evil, we can't judge them. Because at the last minute, like the thief on the cross, their salvation is still there if they repent.
That's true.
And accept Jesus Christ. Yes. These are very, very strong words when you look, almost worrying.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Once Satan and his host of angels have all lost sinners acknowledge God's righteous judgment, their final destruction will take place. Revelation 20, 14 and 15, somebody?
Okay, that was the one I had first.
Sorry. Okay, we'll give that one to Marianne.
Okay.
Marianne, can you read Revelation 20, 14 and 15?
Revelation 20, verse
14 and 15.
14 and 15. And it said, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
That's the final thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2.
Second Corinthians?
Oh. Numa, do you have that? Or, do you have that?
No, you gave me Revelation 20:13. Or verse 11, I think. What did you say?
I can't remember now what I gave for. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Can you read that one you get, please?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Okay, yeah. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now it is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
And then, Hilma, did I give you one?
You gave me Matthew 25:41.
That was the first one, isn't it? That was the first one, I think. So now can you read Zechariah 7:11-13? I don't know what I gave you the... Hold on. I found the error of my ways. I'm gone to another page. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm just going to read this all now, right? Forget about what I gave you. I gave you Matthew 25:41, right?
Hilma? Yeah.
Okay, I gave you, who did I give Revelation 20:7-9?
Nobody.
Okay. I gave somebody Revelation 20:11, yeah?
That's me.
Right, so I'm going to read verses 7-9. So, the Bible tells us that Satan won't have changed during the 1,000 years. He will still hate God. So when the unrighteous are resurrected, he deceives them into thinking they can attack and overcome the New Jerusalem where Christ and the saints are. Verses 7-9 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of saints about and beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Shortly after the attack on the holy city, New Jerusalem, God executes his judgment against them, and they are destroyed by fire. Verse 11.
Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Amen. And this author says that God is fair and gives them an opportunity to realize why they are lost, which is described as a great white throne. Speaking about the judgment, yeah? Right before they receive God's just penalty of eternal death for their sins. Matthew 25:41.
Yeah, that says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
The believer in Jesus Christ has nothing to fear. As the Lamb of God, Jesus received the wrath of God on behalf of his people. Only those without Christ's blood covering them will experience the second death in the lake of fire. I read ahead, I read the next, last chapter. Sorry, I confused everybody. Sorry. But you got a taste of the next chapter. But yeah, and Noelie, you had something to read when you were reading your...
One it says the judgment of the wicked, verse 4 and 6.
Yes.
During the 1,000 years between the first and the second resurrection, the judgment of the wicked takes place. So the last will be in heaven. for me on earth. John in the Revelation says, I saw thrones and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, so that everybody that goes to heaven. It is at this time that, as foretold by Paul, the saints shall judge the world. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2. In union with Christ, they judge the wicked, comparing their acts with the statute book, the Bible, and then deciding every case according to the deeds done in the body. That's Great Controversy, page 260-261.
So that's the 1,000 years, and just after the 1,000 years.
And then here in verse 5, it says, at the close of the 1,000 years, the second resurrection will take place. At the close of the 1,000 years. Then the wicked will be raised from the dead. So the wicked was died already then. The wicked will be raised from the dead and appear before God for the execution of the judgment written. Thus the relator, after describing the resurrection of the righteous, said, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished.
Yeah, what you were reading about the judgment itself, the next topic here will be the Great White Throne Judgment. We'll be talking about
itself. Finished? Even more?
No. I'm sorry, I told you on the wrong things at one stage.
No, so it's very interesting to really look at this.
Yeah. It's the very judgment. Nice. Right there.
Pardon?
Look in the bottomless judgment. What does it mean? What it is? How it works? And all this.
The judgment. We talk about it, but we don't read it with, well, I don't, I shouldn't do.
It's nice to study it together though, because
it's better.
Yeah, because instead of listening to a lecture at church, it's different where you sort of can see
it. Tons of lecture, but I still don't know either.
But I do believe that the Holy Spirit will, because the Bible says someplace, I don't know how it words it, but that the in other words, the books will be open towards the end, so knowledge will increase. Our wisdom is also increasing from God. So what we are understanding now is, and sometimes we can see it from the lesson, we are understanding things at such a different level now to before. Remember, we've been studying these things over the course of our years.
Mm.
Younger, our understanding was little. As we get older, our understanding grows a little. So between that and the power of the Holy Spirit that is opening our minds to spiritual things, and I believe that programs like the 100 Day of Prayer, you know, things that have grown us to this point,
yes,
the Holy Spirit that's opening our minds to His works.
To seek more knowledge as well.
Yeah.
Okay.